Welcome to this session with Doug Addison. Doug is an international conference speaker, author, life coach, and stand-up comedian. For more information about his life-changing seminars and books, visit www.dougaddison.com. And now, here's Doug.
Hey guys, Doug Addison here, Spirit Connection Live. It is July 3rd, 2013, and I'm real excited to be coming to you from my home studio. And also we have Nina in the chat room right now, and we're going to get going here. This is our webcast. We do the first Wednesday of every month. If you're not familiar with it, you can check out my website. It's cleverly disguised, DougAddison.com. And the first half, we're going to do a little bit of prophetic words, and then the second half, we'll do Q&A about the supernatural, maybe some dreams or some questions along those lines. So I'm going to have Nina call me back when we're ready for that so that she can run the chat room, and you can actually type in your questions now. However, we just don't recommend doing long dreams or anything like that. We can't, it doesn't work on the webcast. So supernatural questions, maybe some shorter dreams and dream symbols or things like that, or maybe some questions about what I'm going to be talking about, okay? Well, God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is flowing right now, even through the internet, especially through the internet. You told me, Lord, that this is a time that the internet is going to begin to take shape and form of the reason it was created, as the supernatural highways that will that we'll be able to deliver hope and encouragement and your word. So Father, we pray that even on the recording of this, that you would cause your Holy Spirit to move. We pray for healing, open heaven over everybody, dreams, understanding of dreams, and that we would just have a great time in community together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, I'm real excited that my book is finally coming out. My latest book, Understand Your Dreams. Now, here actually is a copy, a real copy, and it's being delivered. I think we get it this the end of this week, and we'll start shipping it next week for those who bought it already. If you haven't purchased it, you can go on my website, DougAddison.com. You can get it on Kindle, which we just released it on Kindle today. Just go to Amazon Kindle and type in Doug Addison Dreams, and you'll see a few down. I have another book that has the word dreams in it, but you'll see a few down that you can get it on Kindle. You don't have to have a Kindle to actually read it on Kindle. I don't own a Kindle, but I buy Kindle books, and I use a Kindle app. There's an application for Mac or PC, computer, or smartphones, or iPads, or anything. I read mine on my iPad. And here's what I really would really help me. Anyone who's been around my message, my ministry, and been following what we do, would you do me a favor and at least write some feedback on Amazon? That would really help me. Positive feedback, preferably, about the book. The more that happens right away, the better it will be. So we're going to get right into things. I have been really excited. For those of you who were on the webcast last month, that would have been weird because we didn't have one. And last month, my server went down for our website right at about 10 minutes before the webcast, because we had a lot of people on. And some people that know my message know this. It must have been a good one, right? Because why would the enemy try so hard to shut it down? And that was the prophetic word I just released. It just went out on the Elijah list twice in 1 month. It was even repeated. I'll talk about that in just a minute, but it was the prophetic word that I was trying to release last month, and I finally just did a recording of it and released it on my blog. And it was just about June gloom being over. July is the end of July to the end of the year now is a new season, a time of prophetic promises fulfilled. Listen, these are the things that God has promised you, but they have to be in line with this season of your life. So that, in other words, if God has promised you something that's not lining up with this season of your life, so begin to pray and ask God to show you what it is that's going to line up right now. That's why I highly recommend journaling and watching how God's moving and speaking in your life. So it's important to understand not only God's will for our lives, but also his timing. In fact, timing's a big deal. Effective way to do that is pray this prayer. God, show me what is for now and what is for later. Every time I pray that prayer, I begin to get clarity on what to do now or what might be down the road. You know, us prophetic people, we tend to lack what I call prophetic depth perception. Everything looks like it's here when it might be out a little bit. But the more you journal, the more you follow and track God's words over you and listen to his voice, the clearer it ought to be, or the clearer it can be. June 30th, and that was in my prophetic word last month about June gloom being over and July, you know, is it start of something new that's going to go through the end of the year. June 30th was the ending of one of the, really a time that was quite difficult. I was in Houston, Texas last month, actually last weekend, and really I just want to say thanks to Ann Ott and Joan and Kelly Hunter and the ministries that sponsored me coming in and all the fun people in Texas. I left behind the 107 degrees. I could do without that. But last weekend, on June 30th, I was speaking at Joan Hunter's ministry outside of Houston, and we both felt, we were praying and felt that we needed to stay there and celebrate the coming of July and celebrate this prophetic word that we needed to proclaim right at 12:01 on Sunday night, that we needed to press in and just do a shout for something new. Well, she actually told me this about 6 p.m. and I was doing at 7, I started comedy and, you know, prophetic ministry, ministered all the way from 7 till midnight. 12:01, we gave the shout, and I'd already done a conference and everything the whole weekend. But you know, something happened. At 12:01, we did the shout, and because July is the beginning of a new spiritual season, breakthrough is coming for those who are looking for it. You know, you have to look for it. You really do have to be hungry for it and look for it, because if you don't, God rewards people who are hungry. So I didn't know this, but while I was speaking, while we were proclaiming this prophetic word that I released last month, that brought the webcast down, right? While that was happening, Elijah List reran that prophetic article on June 30th and said it was a record-breaking views. Now listen, usually things that happen to me are a prophetic sign. So the prophetic word that I tried to give last month, the website went down because we had record-breaking people also trying to view it and join it. That's why the server went down. We've since, by the way, upgraded our servers, and now we're on Amazon S3, which are expandable. It means that we can just take on as much as the whole world can come at this point. And so we're now prepared for the future, because we weren't really ready for that. So this is a season where records are going to be broken. This is an acceleration, new possibilities. All things are possible for those who believe, right? This is a reality of that. God's love and power is unlimited. What you can do through his love and power has no limits as well through the Holy Spirit. The only limits are our own beliefs, our own belief systems, what we believe about God, what we believe about ourselves, or maybe the season that we're in could limit us. But that's why I say it's good to know the season, because now we're stepping into an unlimited potential in the Spirit. Very similar to back in 2002, 2003, 04, 05, we had a season back then where there was a lot of stuff happening, man. You know, I've been a conference speaker for a number of years, and boy, we were seeing some things happen. But you know, right around 07, 08, we hit a wall, and there was seemed to be a little, you know, there were still things happening, you know, people were still getting healed, but nothing like it used to be. And I'm just saying, we are moving back into that time right now. 2008 was a big downturn. And so 2008, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, that's five. 5 years later, we're now hitting a stride again. And I'm convinced of this, that we're going to see something. So back to June 30th, right? I felt real strong that we needed to respond. I like to respond to prophetic words. If you don't respond in some way, shape, or form, I mean, just even a small baby step, if you don't respond, it just becomes just another prophetic word, just another great journal entry. But my wife and I have been trying to move back to Los Angeles to be, you know, part of putting together this reality show that we're working on. And we've been actually waiting because the value of our house had fallen dramatically. And we weren't about to lose the money. And we just kept hearing God just to wait. And then all of a sudden, God spoke to me that we needed to get our house on the market by June 30th. Now, this is the last week I'm leaving for Houston. And so we worked really hard last week getting it ready to put it on the market. I wasn't going to be home till July 1st. So everything went through. Last Thursday, I left for my trip in Houston. They planned an open house, put it on the market on June 30th, we had that breakthrough. You know, after that shout and after God began to shift things, and on July 1st, I got home to two offers on our house already, and that was over the asking price. Unbelievable. Not only over the asking price, but it was beyond our expectations. We thought we were going to just break even. But boy, did God ever bless us, in a jubilee amount. Really, if you know that number. So that was an amazing thing all of a sudden. In fact, it was the sale or the offer that's in our house right now is also breaking records for our neighborhood. So see, this pattern here is record-breaking. So when I came home from Texas on a Tuesday, we had two offers. We had the breakthrough and then two offers in one day. I had a dream that night that God showed me which one to accept. Now, I love that. Boy, that's the best. That's the best type of revelation is where God just really just makes it clear to you how to proceed. So we did, and now it's an accelerated time. We're moving back to Los Angeles way quicker than we ever thought. Hold on to your hats here, and so we're going down this weekend. We're about 3 hours away. We're going to LA this weekend to look around now a little more seriously, and on the west side of LA. So I just wanted to say that, put that out there if you know of something, because we're not in the financial position necessarily, unless God does something dramatic. But if you, I just wanted to make an announcement on the website. If you know something on the west side, we're talking Santa Monica, that area, Pacific Palisades, in that area. If you know something, let us know. And because we've gotten a lot of prophetic words that an opportunity was going to open for a house, because we're going to have to move our ministry as well in a few months. And so we have a lot coming for the next, so we can prepare ourselves for 2014, where we're going to see an amazing amount of breakthrough, everybody. But check this out. I had another record-breaking number of dreams in the month of June. Now, notice the theme, record-breaking. I normally dream about 200 dreams a year. I know this because I journal every day. I can go to any year. I divide them by year, and I go from 150 to 200 dreams a year that I can remember. I have lots that I don't remember. Did you know in June I had nearly 50 dreams in the month of June alone? My goodness. And I wasn't even sleeping well. That was a weird thing. God releases not only revelation in dreams, but he can also release heavenly or supernatural interaction. These things can happen. So you can get healed in a dream. You can do spiritual warfare in a dream. You can change your life while you're sleeping. How good is that? That is my favorite or preferred method of revelation, is hearing God in dreams. And that's why I'm committed to being a dream interpreter, number one. Number two is to help other people understand your dreams. But can I just say this? Have mercy on me, please. Do you realize how many thousands of dreams people send me through Facebook and everything? I don't have the ability to keep up with any of that. In fact, it gets discouraging sometimes. But I'm going to be releasing more and more training. I've got the Dream Crash course on my website, dougaddison.com, that everything I've been able to do in this area, I'll give to you, of course, in the course. And the dream, Understand Your Dreams Now. First book, I've been working on this book for about 10 years, and I'm real excited about it. So there is a wave coming. Listen, I saw a vision of a tsunami here. I was at the mailbox, right? I was at our mailbox. And as I put the key in and turned it, and our mailbox number is 11, which is, there's transition, or there's things that are happening right now. But I saw a tsunami-level wave cresting over us right now. And I heard God say, what is coming cannot be stopped. And I am now repaying what you have done for other people, for the good of other people. This is what the Lord said. What's coming right now, this is not just for me. I mean, it was for me, but the way, if you've been around ministry enough, you'll know that I'm kind of a symbolic prophet. What happens to me also happens to, and that's how I release a lot of the prophetic words. I do the daily prophetics on Twitter, and the prophetic words every month. I live most of these out. And so I saw this tsunami wave cresting, and God saying, what's happening right now cannot be stopped, and I am now repaying things that you have done for others. Listen, God's not repaying us for sin or something like that. Galatians 6:7 says, what you sow, therefore you shall reap. When I'm talking about this right now, the context is not sin, because that's forgivable. And most people think of what you sow, you shall reap as a negative thing. But, you know, it's actually positive. And it's a little more clear what God's doing right now. If you look at Matthew 25, verse 40, where Jesus says, I tell you the truth, that whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you've done for me. And God told me this. If you have been doing things for other people, if you've been loving, because this is our command. Jesus said, love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. Love your neighbor as yourself. He said to bless those who curse you. Pray for those who speak against you. And there's been an opposite spirit going on around the world. There's been a really, really nasty, you know, let's stand up just because we don't agree with others, that we can stand up and still and not have the spirit of Jesus or the spirit of love. And it's disguising itself. It's a mean spirit, and it's disguised as righteous anger. But I'm saying right now, God's doing something. If you've been sowing, then we're about to see, you know, if you've been giving in this area. No, I have been giving as much as I can. I'm not just talking about money. I mean time, effort, energy, love. This is a time that favor is shifting. For those who've had a lifestyle of blessing, you are now going to receive a huge repayment for it. And this is how, I've been talking about this piece of my message for a while. But God highlighted it today and told me to keep reminding me, keep reminding people of this. And that is how to survive right now. And that is with love, grace, gratitude, and generosity. You know, grace is where you love people and you cut them slack instead of cutting them down. You know, Matthew 7:12. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. That's what Jesus said. Do to others what you would have them do to you. He said that to do to others, not just people that you agree with, but other people in the world. And so this is really, really important. And the second one, I call these the three G's, grace, gratitude, generosity. Second one's gratitude, being grateful instead of grumbling. And it's going to open up a highway of blessing over you if you do it consistently. Philippians 4:12, the Apostle Paul says, I know what it's like to be in need. I know what it's like to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed, hungry, or whether living in plenty or want. You know what it is? Is being grateful. Being grateful to God, being grateful for life. It really will turn things around. We've got to turn our grumbling to gratefulness. And the third G is generosity. And that's not just with money. That's with our time, our resources, our energy. Everything that we have, if we're generous, Acts 20, verse 36 or verse 35 says, the more you give, the more you shall receive because of these principles. Listen to me. Because of the principle, what you sow, you shall reap, Galatians 6, 7, because that principle exists, if you consistently sow grace, gratitude, generosity, love, guess what? You will open, or it will open a heaven over you, because God's word, that's his word. This is the spiritual principles. If you do this, it's the secret to me, to me hearing the voice of God much clearer. And I walk around under an open heaven of being able to hear God all the time because I've sown grace, gratitude, generosity, love. Now, I still have a bad time. I still, you know, have to keep myself in check behind the wheel of the car. I'm not going to tell you that I've suddenly elevated above anybody else. Something happens when you do this. If you do it consistently, you're going to see a change in your life, and you'll begin to have a flow of blessing and an open heaven over you that can cause a highway of blessing to come. Here's what God told me today. Don't back down. This is a time to press in and not to back down. Now, you got to know what to bet, not back down on, because you know, you can take the word and decree and declare something and it will be done. You can do that. But if it is not, you know, the battle that you need to fight right now, or if God's not doing that particular thing, you got to know how to discern the difference of when to back down and when not to. I always compare it as, remember Satan tried to drown Jesus, kill Jesus several times in a boat especially. And one time there's a storm and Jesus is asleep in the belly of the boat. He rested in the storm. And so there's times, you know, he didn't get up and rebuke the storm, because that was in another moment. He rebuked the storm one time. Another time he rested. There was a point in that. And the point was to show us, you've got to know when to speak to the storm to stop it, or when to rest in it. And then another time, there's a storm and he walks on the water. He rose above it. So this is discernment, developing the ability to discern. And when I was talking to Joan Hunter last week, she said she had traveled, and I guess it was impossible for her to get on her flight, right, to get there for the meeting that we were at. But she declared and she decreed, she believed, and yes, indeed, she got on that flight, right, and made it back in time. However, I was on a flight from Santa Barbara, California, to Houston, Texas. It took me 14 hours. I could have gotten to Africa in 14 hours, but it took me 14 hours, and I did declare and decree. In fact, I called my wife. There was closed runways. It was all kinds of stuff going on. Something stirred up. So I called Linda, and we agreed together, and we declared and decreed that I would make it through. But guess what? Not like what happened to Joan, where hers went right through. Mine, I had to actually rest in it and be okay with it. I had to be peaceful with the idea of what was happening. And so I knew, I'm telling you this, know when to press in and when to back down, or not to back down, or know when to just say, God's going to do something here. But you have to recognize it. Battle when it's the enemy, declare, decree. But I had to actually have this long, long layover in San Francisco, and I knew God was about, you know, that God's going to do something. I didn't see it actually happen, but he did speak to me when I was there, and why the runway was being closed and everything was all, you know, everything was in an upheaval. There was people angry and irritated, and there wasn't a flow of, you know, of an international airport. Things were being blocked, and the Lord spoke to me. I mean, out of the blue, I wasn't even thinking of anything. And once I got out of there, the Lord spoke to me and said, it's because this came after the Supreme Court ruling, you know, about same-sex marriage, and this is, God told me this. I mean, I wouldn't even been thinking this, but the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, listen, Christians are praying against places like San Francisco, and the Lord says, we're not supposed to be praying against, we're supposed to be praying for. And this is really important, that we need to be praying for these places, and we need to, you know, we need to bless that God would move in these places. You don't have to agree politically with anything that happened. You don't have to agree with that stuff. But what you do is not, if you start cursing or pray that things close down, you come into agreement with darkness, because darkness is cursing. Jesus says, he says, bless and curse not. Where two agree together, it be done. You actually lock down darkness over a person or a region. However, if you learn how to bless and say and pray a prayer like, God, I might not agree with whatever it is, but Father, I pray that you bless people to have eyes to see and ears to hear. God, I pray that, just like Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of their heart would be enlightened, that they may know the goodness. Yeah, you can just pray that opposite, you know, prayer. Father, I pray for the gay and lesbian community to be able to experience the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for the people who aren't like me and different political parties. And I'm telling you, you can speak into a situation, know when to back down, know when not to, and so that you will actually be able to flow much more smoothly in this season. We've lost track of how to discern these days. And I won't get into it too much. If you've been around me enough, you know that we really do have to change the way we love. So God told me this. It may look strange right now, that what he's doing is outside the box, and he's moving on people that have had a bad Christian experience. So don't be surprised if the strangest people suddenly are open to God. And when we see this, we have to show an extreme measure of grace. We are in a time that, because of the extreme, really strict and harsh critical spirit that's come across through Christianity, go ask people what they think of Christianity or Christians, and they might give you a negative answer. Because of that, we have to flip that around with extreme grace in this season right now. This is a time for extreme grace. It may adjust later, but this is the season for it right now. And so just be prepared, you know, to love people. I had a dream this month that I lost my glasses. And in the dream, I lost my pair of glasses, and I was thinking, oh, no, this is not good. Even in the dream, I was thinking, no, this isn't good. But suddenly, five more pair appears supernaturally in my pocket. And I knew what that meant. Let go of old ways of thinking. Let go of old vision. And let God give you grace. Five is the number of grace, right? And God's going to increase our vision then for new levels of grace. So I want to talk about a prophetic word I got for June, July, August, September, basically the next quarter, July through September. And this month, God's been speaking to me by quarters. It's never happened before. And it was in June, actually, that I heard that it's going to be like the numbers of the month, 6, 7, 8, 9, okay? June is 6. 6 is the number of what? Man, or the number of work. The Lord told me this before June, that it would be a time of hard work, but your efforts will pay off. And sure enough, you know, we worked hard to get my book done. We worked hard to get our house up for sale. We worked hard to do things in June. Sure enough, wow, things are paying off. And I've gotten a lot of emails about that as well. Some people backed down. They didn't want to do the press in. They didn't press in. There was a lot of reward if you did. Now, July, number 7, the month of July, 7 represents perfection, completion. Things are now coming together for good, for the good. So watch this, that there's a completion or a perfection coming. That's a number we see in Scripture 7, a number of God. But you're going to see this happening. Here's what God spoke to me. Is watch for these your gifts to merge, kind of emerge. Many of us have, we all have access to all the spiritual gifts, but many of us have one gift more than another. And, mine happens to be a prophetic and evangelism and outreach, so I'm a blended gift, a mixed gift. Maybe yours is a prophetic intercession or teaching or service or something like that. But what God showed me this month is that most of us have a dominant gift, and a subdominant gift. But what's happening is He's shifting those right now so that we have two dominant gifts, like two legs, you know, very strong. So for a number of years, I did outreach. You know, that was my dominant gift. Even though I was prophetic, my dominant gift was outreach. And then that shifted for a number of years. The last few years, I actually have had a dominant gift of the prophetic. Well, what's going on right now in the month of July, God is causing our gifts to become dominant, like two strong legs. And it's going to be very interesting, because usually we'll use one more than another. So watch for that to happen. He's shifting, shifting the gifts. The gifts are shifting in July. August, number 8, is new beginnings, right? So we're going to see the start of new things. It's a good time to start new things. We're going to see relocations. Movement's going to start happening in August to set us up for 9, September, which is harvest time, right? It's the number of the spiritual gifts. It was 9 of them. 9 is the time of harvest. And we're going to see big returns. We're going to start seeing returns on our investments, returns on what God's called us to do. We're going to start seeing more action, getting some traction. And September 25th, I've been hearing this for a while, is a significant time. I don't quite understand it yet, but that's the next quarter. So we're seeing a completion, new beginning, and September being a time after Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Jewish holidays in September. During that time this year, God says that there's going to be mass promotions this year, mass promotions, and you're going to see something happen along those lines. All right. Well, I'm going to put this word together, and I'll get it out on my blog a little bit later, and also we'll post it out on all of our, all the prophetic websites that we have access to. But check out my website, DougEdison.com. We're going to shift here in a second, so Nina can go ahead and call me at any time. But remember my book, Understand Your Dreams Now, and that you could actually order it now, and we will be shipping next week. These actually come in, or you can get it on Kindle, and we'll have the download version up next week on my website as well. Dream Crash Course. I have all the things I put together on how to understand dreams. And so the Dream Crash Course on my website, DougAddison.com. Walk you right through everything. I have 10 sessions. And someone says, well, which is better, the Dream Crash Course or the book? The Dream Crash Course has way, way more details, has, printable dream symbol cards, has much more detail. But I did develop this book off the Dream Crash Course, and the Dream Crash Course is me on video and audio, and so it depends on what you prefer. I would recommend that doing the Dream Crash Course, then reading the book and give the book away to someone, because I wrote this, by the way, in a way that you can, it's Understand Your Dreams Now, Spiritual Dream Interpretation. I wrote it in a way that you could give it to a person that might not be a Christian, and I introduce it over time, over the chapters about why, I believe what I believe, and why, I get the understanding of the dreams the way myself and others do, and that we're not there to preach, but to understand spiritual dream interpretation is really important. And so the other one is the prophetic tattoo and piercing interpretation. It's a website. It's a training on how I interpret tattoos using the same understanding of dreams. You can take that course. It's a short time. We're going to only be running this for a while as I'm launching my TV reality TV show called The Tattoo Prophet. Also, I just wanted to mention donations. If you can help us out, we do this webcast free. We'd like to keep it free. You can go to my website, DougAddison.com, and if you're viewing this here or viewing the tape, and hit the donation button or partner, hit the partner button, and it will allow you to donate to this or to help us, to reach Hollywood. I'm prophesying into Hollywood all the time and doing the reality show, so we really appreciate you helping and partnering with us in it. Also, Twitter and Facebook, you can get the Daily Prophetic Words, Doug T. Addison on Twitter, and Facebook, The Doug Addison. Okay, Nina, are you on? Okay, I can hear you. Okay, so go ahead. Here comes a question. What is the meaning of when angels talk to you in dreams? Okay. Speak about the meaning of angels in dreams. Well, angels often interact right in your dream. And usually they'll either look like an angel, but most of the time they are either very tall or faceless people, a positive aspect about them. And they're actually angels coming in your dream and doing things and interacting with you, or it's a sign that there are angels around you. Quite often they're in your bedroom or something like that, and they're just also showing up in your dream. Next. Okay, how to increase dreams from God, because this person doesn't necessarily dream that much anymore. Well, first of all, we all dream, and science has proven that. But we don't all remember. And if you understand my stuff on dreams and read my book, you'll find out that you don't have to really remember your dream to benefit from it. And that God will speak sometimes and he'll impart it into your spirit. That's Job 33:14-17. It's inside of us. But what I recommend is, first of all, ask God to speak to you. And I put a notepad next to my bed. And I say, I jump start some of my times. I go through seasons of not dreaming as much. And some people are just wired differently. What I found is if you get up to go to the bathroom at night, you probably dream more. So I'll often have water next to my bed. Because if you interrupt your sleep process, I just know this from training people on dreams. I have the show of hands. How many people dream a lot? Raise your hand. How many people get up to go to the bathroom at night? Oh, raise their hand, you know. And so that might be one way, but the other way is just to activate it. So we'll just do that right now, Father, in Jesus' name. We just activate dreams, the understanding of dreams and remembering dreams. And boy, I'll give some of my dreams away after 50 of them this month. My fingers are tired typing. Whew, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, they don't all have to be from God. You know, I had 50 dreams, but once you understand dreams, I mean, one dream I was, you know, I was catching a mouse in a mouse trap, right? And I knew that that meant that, you know, stopping something that was, you know, there was something that wasn't good. It was stopping. So that was some kind of, you know, a spiritual warfare dream. I had another healing dream. Once you understand how God speaks, they don't have to be like, okay, this dream's from God, this dream isn't. You don't have to cut and dry it that way. You can actually take a negative dream, and this is my message. You take a negative dream, just like Daniel did in Daniel chapter 4. King Nebuchadnezzar had a negative dream, but Daniel flipped that thing around and said, boy, you don't have to lose your kingdom. That wasn't even in the dream. You know, in the dream, he was going to lose his kingdom for 7 years and his mind. But Daniel added the understanding that God's heart is, if you repent, that won't happen. So because of that, you can actually, you can take a negative dream and flip it around. I don't get discouraged when I see negative dreams. In fact, some of the 50 dreams I had this month, some of them were darker, muted color dreams, spiritual warfare dreams, negative dreams. But guess what? You flip that around and you find God's will and begin to pray that in over your life. Okay, what else you got? Okay, a lawyer, a warrior, or a lawyer, an attorney. Oh, okay. It was a warrior that came in, not a lawyer. A warrior came in with a sword right over, woke up screaming. Probably an angel of the Lord, most likely, and coming to give you courage, or you know, those types of things, the sword authority coming to give you. But, you know, yes, they will. They'll startle you. In fact, I woke up screaming in some of my dreams just recently, where they will startle you. But that's a good sign, because God is bringing you a warring angel around you for your situation. In fact, I'm seeing the situation right now, and it's going to cut through some red tape that's holding some things back in your life. Okay, keep them rolling. We're doing good. Okay, they're outside in a street, and they could hear voices of someone they know, but they were in the house. Is that right? Oh, okay. So, without knowing what area of your life, it depends. If those people in the house, okay, this dream, they're outside the house, the dreamer, but there's people. They hear voices of people. They didn't know which house, but then they find out, because they follow the voices and find out where they are, and then they're able to find the people. It depends. If those are people from your job, then it's more about, you know, getting direction. And this, the dream's about getting direction and asking for wisdom and, you know, listening to people's cries, you know. And so it depends on who they were. If they were from your church, then it's more about ministry. If you didn't know them, then it's in general, which means that you really need to listen for people who are in need around you. That's the basic meaning of the dream. All right, we're doing good. Okay, so someone asked about this dream that several years ago they had, that they were washing some stairways with a pound of butter in each hand, and stairs tend to be transition. And so, you know, buttering up the stairs is greasing things. In other words, that was showing that God was gifting you for that season of your life to, you know, to accelerate, or gifting you to grease the stairs to be able to transition quicker. And go back and look. Did that happen? That's why I recommend journaling every day, because you'll find out if, wow, it might have, that did happen. You know, I'll have a dream like that, and then I'll go back every year, every few months, actually. I search my dreams to see what really happened. You know, if these things did happen, you got to interact more with your dreams. And the more you do that, the more you'll get, and the more you'll understand. Keep them rolling. Okay, this must be someone in the baking industry. They had a dream that they got an order for how many cakes? Three? Two cakes that were two cakes that are three tier that serve nine people. That's a total of 18. Okay, nice numbers. And I probably know who that is. Anyway, maybe I don't. I'm feeling their spirit anyway. And but here's the deal, is that it's good things coming. Now, if they're in the baking industry, it doesn't matter, but there's good things coming. Because notice all those numbers, 3, 9, 18, you know, the number of God, you know, triple, things increasing, 9, fruitfulness, 18, you know, just establishment of something that's going to happen, blessing, you know, like a blessing going to happen. So the interpretation of the dream is God's going to bless you with some things. It's going to multiply and be able to touch a lot of people. Keep them coming. Okay, so this person said it wasn't a dream and it was a supernatural manifestation that she woke up in the middle or in the morning or in the middle of the night and saw a cross on the ceiling and a backward C on the cross. And then her husband woke up and saw it there and it was and apparently remained all day, the backward C. Now, here I don't quite have the understanding of the backward C at the moment, but I do have this, is that... I do have the understanding of it. It just came to me. Is the cross is, you know, the manifestation in your bedroom. God's calling you to deeper intimacy. And that the cross, you know, and the backward C is the C for the cross. And so it's backwards because if you look at it this way, it looks right. But if you're looking at it from God's view, it's backwards. It's saying that God is viewing you through his cross. Do you know what that means? That the way he's seeing you right now is through his cross. That means there's a lot of grace over your life. And that there was grace for, is that, what did you just say? Yeah, from God's point of view, exactly. And so there's grace for you. And it's a season of grace for your family. All right, that was a good one. What else you got? Okay, so someone said that there was a fire coming. It's a dream, and he was playing his PlayStation 3, but he had three dreams about a fire coming. Yep, and that he he's playing his PlayStation 3, and his question is, why is the PlayStation 3 important? Well, my response is the fire's more important than PlayStation 3. You know, fire is the presence of the Holy Spirit. And just PlayStation 3 is just saying that God's going to do something that's going to be fun in your life. You know, and 3, again, it's symbolic of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's saying this is coming from God. So the most important thing in the dream is not PlayStation, because that's just saying it's fun. The fire's coming, and that means that there's a move of the Holy Spirit coming in your life. That's the good thing. Great dream. Okay, how to balance being proactive while waiting for God and pursuing your vision for your life. That's my specialty, actually. That's what really drove me to do a lot of study and become a life coach and write my book, Personal Development God's Way, which goes way into exactly into that, on how to balance. In fact, that's what the whole thing is how to... It's not all of it, but it's the main part of the message is that we get too stagnant as Christians, as spiritual people. We tend not to get a lot done. However, you can balance this. I get a lot done, and I still hear God, and I'm still intimate with God. I get tons and tons done, but I balance that by, here's how you do it. I mean, real bottom line, but first of all, read my book, Personal Development God's Way, number one, because it will walk you through with exercises. But a tip for it is to do the last thing you've heard, you know, or something. One of the things I do is the breakthrough lifestyle. That's small things done consistently towards something that you said you maybe some life dreams. do small things consistently towards it on a regular basis will keep the dream alive or keep the fire alive. And then by the time God opens another door for that, an example, let me just tell you an example. When I wrote this book, okay, I had this revelation, and of course I trained, and my, you know, people, my spiritual father, John Paul Jackson, I have honor to all that, but I've had this for a while now. So my season to publish, this wasn't here yet. So I did small things over time. I continued to do the research. I continued to read other books. I continued to make notes. I continued doing things and preparing. Another example of how you could do that is if you feel called to do a certain type of ministry. When I went into dream interpretation, an example of that, you know, this is, 15 years ago, maybe more, 20 years ago, I went to a workshop, and I read a book, and I began, those are small things, kept it alive, and then I progressed a little more. Keep doing small things over time, and you will get a breakthrough later on. That's just the quick answer. All right, what else you got? Okay, what can you do if you have no mentor in your gifting area and there's no way to receive face-to-face training? And first of all, there's probably a mentor somewhere. And this is, again, this is in my book, Personal Development, God's Way. You don't have to be face-to-face to be mentored. In fact, I mentor with people all the time in the form of their books, in the form of their tapes, in the form of their CDs. So here's what I recommend. Finding someone that you identify with, or, you know, that you don't know even, that might have what you want, you know, or that you want to grow in. Read their books, listen to their audios, go to a workshop, do something. That's number one, because you're actually mentoring. Do you realize that you can actually take a lifetime that someone put in? And like my book, Personal Development, God's Way, was well over 1,500 hours. You can buy the book and read it and do the exercises and not have to go through that. You can do this with people. And the second thing is Google it and find out if there's an online group. Because I bet with the internet nowadays, there's probably an online group. It doesn't even have to be a live group. You could, and if you don't have a computer, you could actually go down to the library or do something and do things along those lines. Take a class or a workshop. You know, I didn't have anybody to mentor me in the area of Christian comedy. And I knew that God was calling me to be a stand-up comedian. And so this was in 2001. I went and took a workshop on comedy, on stand-up comedy. And then I began to, you know, meet other people. You know, we met at the workshop. And we started going to improv classes, anything we could. You do those small things over time, and then it will build. Now, I'm a professional stand-up comedian here, you know, years later, but it wouldn't have happened unless I would have done the small things over time. There's someone to mentor you. There is someone, and you just need to find them. And you don't have to be face-to-face at all to be mentored, especially in this day and age. What else you got? Okay, if I'm following that, if I'm not quite following that question. In general, this is like a saying that in general, when we speak prophetically or speak about, it could relate to other people as well as the specific topic. Is that the question? Okay, yes, absolutely. In fact, that's my primary gifting. I'm talking, usually I'm speaking or prophesying to a person or myself, a person, a church or community, a business, a city, a nation, the world, all at the same time. That what's happening, you know, in one thing can translate into another. And that's why sometimes you'll hear me, if you've done prophetic life coaching or if you're part of one of my private groups, you'll find that I'll give some of the same similar prophetic words because it's the same season over a person's life. And so I'll go into a church, and I just want to encourage you, because if you're a prophetic intercessor or if you're a speaker, but you go into a church and you're getting a prophetic word, it's for that group, but it's also for the city. And that's why when I travel, I can't stay in homes because I live the prophetic word out. And so it's going to confuse me what's happening with the people in that house or the land itself, the house itself, or is it for the church? Is it for the city? It takes me a day or two to discern, at least a day or two. I always go in a day early so I can get a hold of it because I'm about to live out the prophetic word. And oftentimes I'm attacked my first night there. And I don't usually tell people about it. I get attacked by the very spirit that's holding people back, but I don't get up and announce it. I just start ministering the opposite. I don't really send postcards about what Satan's doing. I just start ministering the opposite of what God's doing, and then that takes care of itself. But oftentimes, I actually have to live it out, so that might be your gift too. Wonderful gift, isn't it? What do you got? Okay, when you're prophesying, how do you know if you're picking up on the soul realm of the person who wants a prophetic word? You know, that only comes with practice and discernment. That will be the only way. Hebrews 5:14 is the only way to do it, which, by constant use, solid milk, because discernment is for the mature. Discernment comes. The only way you can have the gift of discernment, but still you have to exercise that thinking. You have to understand Hebrews 5:14, but solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good and evil. Listen to me. I've been in the prophetic ministry for 25 years, and I still journal every day. I still make notes of what happened at that meeting. Because that's how you do it. Especially when I was first starting out, I didn't know the difference between, someone that needed something, and it depends on how your gift works. Some people have a gift. It's a small percentage of prophetic people, very, very, very small percentage that has the gift that can just get this download and it comes out your mouth. You know, they're the proclaimers. They proclaim something and it's dictated almost, but it's a very small percentage. Did you know that there's also seers, there's sensors, there's feelers, there's people who live it out? And because most of us were trained by the proclaimers, I felt like a fish out of water for a number of years until I met, one of my spiritual mentors, Bob Jones, really helped me because I'm a seer. I see things and then I go back just like, I'm going to have to go back from the things I was seeing today. I just got this stuff this afternoon, some of it. The things I was seeing today, I haven't found it in the Bible yet, so that'll drive pastors nuts, anyway, I go back and find it in the Bible, but I know it's not coming out of my soul. But here's what I recommend is if you're not one that can just get that word really quickly and you know it, then what you do is begin to practice and notice the fruit from it. When you give a prophetic word, I've noticed it with my own life. If you can't give it to others, notice it in your own life. I can now discern when someone gives me a good word or a God word. Now, good doesn't necessarily mean it's from the soul. Good is because they care about you, and it could be a good word. I can feel the good words that people just really like, but then I know a God word. But sometimes I don't know the difference. So I write them all down and I go back later in my journal and clarify, oh my goodness, I actually saw that word come about. It will take constant use and I can't encourage people enough to journal. I say it all the time. I need to release a journal book or something because it is the only way to track what God does because he works over time. He's the God of ages. What else? Yeah, why are there so many middle-aged people unmarried and single? And can I pray? And I do have a book. I have one of my first angelic encounters, major ones, was 1991. It's called Divine Alliances, a.k.a. End Time Marriages. But I changed the title because it wasn't just marriage. It was business and ministries and marriages were going to suddenly come together, like all together at one as a chessboard. And God spoke to me, by the way, in the next 6 months, some of that's going to happen. You know what? It's a hard one to prophesy because I went into a church and I remember giving prophetic words that 12 people would get married. Now, A bunch of people got married. I don't know if it was 12 or not. But the pastor did tell me a bunch got married. But also told me this, that some of them didn't follow through, that they, if they would have, they had the opportunity, but their fear held them back. And so there's all time. This is so many multiple layers, you know, of to be able to give you an answer to that. But I do know this, why this age group, which is my age group, probably because of the era we grew up in. And the baby boomers, you know, and the baby boomers came out of the being raised by the, you know, the World War II and in that era. And we came out of an abundance, a me mentality, you know. We're spending and not leaving an inheritance. Just look at it, you know. We came out because of the environment we were raised in, this really, you know, where there was no holds barred, you know, no limitations. So part of it's our mindsets, really. I'm convinced of that. I had to actually, for me to find my wife, Linda, I had to go to a different church, or, you know, I had to fish in a different pond because my church didn't have the type of people. And I know that I didn't actually go there, but I knew about her from another church and I met her at a prayer meeting. But here's what I want to recommend. Maybe you need to go try someplace else. You know, some people are waiting just for that thing, you know, knock, 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 knock. It's going to come. Well, listen to me. There's two doors mentioned in the Bible. One is Matthew 7:7. You know, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open. It did not say that door would be opened automatically. It did not say sit on the couch. It didn't even say sit on the pew and wait for God to open. It didn't say speak to the door and it would open. It said ask, seek, and knock. And that, I think that goes with dating as well. And I know that many of people are bashful, you know, break out of that. And, I, you know, I went to things when I was single at my church, you know, that we do things together as groups and single groups and stuff like that. And then the other one is Revelation 3:20, which Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, you have to open the door. The other one, God's going to open the door." So there's, you know, there's times that I really believe, and it's funny that we're ending on this because I ended on this at the midnight meeting at Joan Hunter's meeting on June 30th, into July 1st. This was the last word I had. And I wasn't even planning on talking about it tonight, but the divine alliance word, the end time marriage word, is now. And people get excited, but you have to take action. Some of you won't. Some of it will come. But I did see like a chessboard when I had this encounter over the weekend at Big Sur in 2001. I saw like a chessboard of God, and he said, "A time is coming when I'm going to move people into position. Some will have been saved." This is what he said. He said, "Some will have been single and stayed single so they didn't marry the wrong person, but in one sudden move there's going to be a thing happen. Others will be divorced. Others will have been widowed. But check this out," and this is not to put fear in anybody or anything like that, but on the divorced ones, and some of you that are divorced need to just get back up and go for it, because divorce is not an unpardonable sin. Do you want to know why people are single and can't get married? Some of it is bad theology, and that misunderstanding of why Jesus said, when he said, you know, about the being divorced, you know, he was trying to compare people to the law. He was trying to say to them, "You want to live the law? Here's what you need to do. Poke your eye out if you sin. Cut your hand off. If you're divorced, you can't. If you guys want to live by the law," and he was introducing grace at the time. And so I really believe this, that some people listening to me right now, you heard God to get married, you did, and it ended bad, and you're stunned right now with fear. And here's what the Lord says to you. Yes, indeed, you did hear his voice. Yes, you did. I hear it. You heard the voice of the Lord. However, the other person or situations happened. The other person said no, or the other person, you know, and it's not on you. Get back up. Of course, you know, you have to go through healing and whatever, but get back up and get on that horse, because this is a time where God is pulling together couples for the purposes of the ministry. Two are better than one, right? And even for ministries are coming together in agreement. If you two agree together, one can put 1,000 flight, 2, 10,000. There's tons of verses about this. And the third one would be businesses, business partnerships. are going to happen. So I just want to pray that right now as we're closing, Father, in Jesus' name, we just speak over people who have not been married, and I pray that they would be married, the ones that are divorced, the ones that are widowed. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus that there would be a divine realignment and a divine alliance, as you showed me back in 1991, and then you told me in 2004, it's now happening. And so I make a declaration here that this is now starting to happen in a greater level. And also, as we close the webcast, Father, we just pray for everybody to be able to dream and experience this shift happening. I pray for breakthrough. And I just bless people. Father, just release a blessing over everybody in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just remind you again, my website, DougAddison.com, and we are a nonprofit, and we accept donations. We appreciate that. Twitter and Facebook, check me out. Also, this month, I'm going to be in Woodland Park, Colorado, July 19th and 20th, and that is right outside of Colorado Springs, I do believe, on Friday night and Saturday. And then on Sunday morning, on the 24th, first, in the same church, I'm going to be there at 10 a.m. And so it's going to be a fun time. Remember my Dream Crash course and the prophetic tattoo interpretation and my latest book. Hey, would you do me a favor? Will you help me out and go over onto Amazon and leave some positive feedback about my book? Because that really helps authors like me. So, all right, guys, thanks so much for joining us, and see you next month.